Hi, this is Chris Mayo. I'm a senior technical evangelist for the Office 365 platform. And in this video, we're going to be talking about developing SharePoint Online solutions using the client object model. Specifically, how can we, via a Silverlight application or through JavaScript code, interact with data, including lists and libraries, as well as features of SharePoint, when building sophisticated client applications. So our agenda for this video and this series of videos, we'll take a quick overview of the client object model. Why was it created? What does it do? How can you leverage it in your solutions? Next, we'll talk about Silverlight. How can we leverage the power of Silverlight to create rich internet applications for SharePoint that run in the cloud with SharePoint Online using the new client object model? Next, we'll talk about JavaScript, and again, how can you create client-side script with JavaScript that interacts with SharePoint data in SharePoint Online in order to create a sophisticated client solution. We'll wrap up with plenty of time for a summary and some resources. Okay, so let's talk about the client object model. The client object model was released with SharePoint 2010, and since SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010, it's also available for our cloud-based SharePoint solutions. So the goal around the client object model was to create a consistent object model rather than just creating more web services. We've been creating a number of web services, a common request that we get each time we release a new version of SharePoint. And each time these web services come out, you know, they're slightly different. They are web services, so the proxy classes that are generated aren't, you know, the greatest thing to work with from .NET code or from scripting code and so on. So what we wanted to do with the client object model was provide a consistent way of accessing SharePoint data and functionality or features from the client side, from, you know, browser-based solutions, be them SharePoint, be it JavaScript, or even .NET code that's running remote from the SharePoint online deployment or SharePoint deployment. So that's what we did. So the client object model is much easier to use in the SharePoint web services for a number of reasons. One, it's a object model that's fairly consistent with the server-side object model. So if you're used to writing Microsoft.SharePoint code, this is going to look very, very familiar to you. There's some slight differences that you'll need to learn, but for the most part, a lot of your skills are going to be applied or reused when moving to the client object model. It provides a consistent developer experience across the platform. So if you learn, you know, the .NET version of the library when you move to Silverlight, it's fairly consistent, so it's easy to pick up. Same thing with JavaScript. I mean, there's slight differences for each individual client platform specific to that platform, but for the most part, it's going to be easy to pick up each new platform. And then finally, the client object model is easier to use than just the straight web service, and the fact that client object model, each of the libraries, provides an abstraction layer with recognizable objects, again, if you're used to doing Microsoft.SharePoint development. And in a lot of cases, you can get work done with a lot fewer calls and a lot fewer round trips. So the client object model is a subset of Microsoft.SharePoint object model. It's scoped to the site collection and lower, and we know that SharePoint Online is actually as a service scoped to the site collection and lower, so it maps to SharePoint Online very well. The libraries are also scoped or a subset from the perspective that we wanted to make these libraries as small and efficient to download and to load at runtime as possible. So you're going to see some scoping there as well. The client object model supports .NET, Silverlight, and JavaScript. So if you're creating a console application or a WPF app, a Silverlight web part, or just adding some script to your page to, you know, do some navigation or provide a little bit of, you know, pizzazz to your page, you're going to be covered with the client object model and able to access SharePoint via the client object model. So what's supported within the client object model? Well, again, if you look at the Microsoft.SharePoint library in the sandbox, how it's mapped to the site collection and blow, which again maps to what's available in SharePoint Online, you're going to see a big similarity with the client object model as far as being able to access site collections, sites, you know, access lists, list items, views or list schemas, files, folders, being able to access, web parts, security as far as SP user and so on, content types, and so on. So one thing to keep in mind is that the client object model is restricted to the SPO features. So even though it's the same libraries, whether you're running on-prem with SharePoint 2010 or in the cloud with SharePoint Online, look at the service descriptions to make sure that the underlying feature that you're trying to access in SharePoint Online is supported, because otherwise you're going to run into some trouble as far as exceptions and so on. Now, one of the great things about the client object model is that it was designed to be consistent with the server-side object model as far as Microsoft SharePoint. So if you look at this table, it's just a few quick examples of that equivalency. So if you look at SP context, the root object for gaining access to the context that you're executing in within SharePoint, in the .NET managed API, so Microsoft.SharePoint.client, it's called client context. Similar in Silverlight, it's called client context, and in ECMAScript, it's called client context. So again, you can get a good feel for not only the consistency with the server-side object model, but also the consistency across the client object model. So what does this look like at runtime? If you look at the lower left-hand screen, let's talk about managed code as an example, and managed code being either, you know, the .NET libraries or the Silverlight libraries. So you have some managed code in that is the managed client APIs, either .NET or Silverlight. You're making calls against the managed object model, and that managed object model is actually using a proxy to batch up and send XML requests against client.svc, a new service that's there, you know, solely to support the client object model. Client SVC makes the server object model equivalent calls on your behalf and accesses data in the content database over on the SharePoint server. When those calls come back, you know, like let's say, you know, returning items for a list or something along those lines, client.svc returns those as a JSON response, which again is serialized into some managed types that you can access, and then, you know, you can party on that data or use that SharePoint list to your heart's content as an example of making that round trip. Okay? The ECMAScript is very, very similar. Calls the same client.svc, packages things up as JSON, and then returns it as ECMAScript objects or JavaScript objects. Now, one of the things that we had talked about in some of the prior videos is the fact that from a sandbox solution, you can't call external web services, and BCS is not supported in the sandbox. We also know that the developer platform for SharePoint Online is sandbox solution. So it means that for SharePoint Online, you can't access external web services or access BCS as a feature. But one of the great things about the client-side object model, either using Silverlight or JavaScript, is that you can call external services. So you can call, you know, WCF services, REST services, OData services, whether those are running, you know, on-premise or running in the cloud. And you can actually make those calls and mash together the data or features or functionality of those external data sources or web services, or even access them, you know, on-premise via the Azure Service Bus. You can mash that together in order to create some pretty sophisticated, you know, cross-cloud solutions using the client object model. So if you look at the, supporting examples or training kit for Silverlight and the ability to call out to external services as an example, And then look at the training kit that we have for you here for using the client object model, you can see how those two fit together. So a great way to get outside of SharePoint Online in order to access those external services. Okay, so let's talk specifically about Silverlight as an example of the client object model and some of the things that you can build. So the Silverlight client object model is referenced via the Silverlight libraries, which are Microsoft.SharePoint.Client.Silverlight, and then Microsoft.SharePoint.Client.Silverlight.Runtime. And everything that you're going to need is going to be in the Microsoft.SharePoint.Client namespace. You have a couple of hosting options available to you. You can just use you can create a Silverlight application, as app that leverages the client object model, and you can host that in just a regular Silverlight web part. You can create a custom web part or even a custom ASPX page that leverages the Silverlight web part and have that pre-embedded within the page, so a site page providing that functionality. Now, when you create a custom web part, of course, with Silverlight, you might want to pass some data to the ZAP file from the page. You do that via init params. And then you can pull those init params in and use those in the processing of whatever feature or functionality you're going to provide with the solution. The ZAP itself is actually going to be deployed via a module, and that's either on its own to a specific library that users could leverage through the Silverlight web part, or that you yourself can leverage with a custom web part you deployed or a site page. And we'll see that in the demo videos. So let's go ahead and look at a solution where we'll use the client object model from a Silverlight application and deploy that with its own page where everything's kind of packaged up together. And we'll use that to, as an example, just access a list and do some searching within a list. In this video, we're going to look at using the client object model in SharePoint Online via Silverlight application. And then specifically what we're going to do is just be searching on a list and pulling that back into our Silverlight application, just doing a quick simple search. So here you can see I have IE9 open. I've got a couple of tabs here. The first is my on-premise SharePoint Online deployment. I'm going to use this to do my F5 debugging, my iterative development, primarily because it gives me, Visual Studio 2010 gives me that ability to debug locally so I can get the solution that I want. When I'm done and I have the solution that I want, I'll actually package that up into a WSP, a sandbox solution, and I'll upload that to SharePoint Online. And that will be my confirmation test to just make sure everything works in the cloud as it does on-prem so I know my solution's complete. So for this video, I'm going to be using this Lab04 site. And if you're following along with the offline training kit, you'll have this site as well. It's just a simple team site, and I've deployed a simple list here that has list items to represent, billable time or recording of billable time for some fictitious employees in a fictitious company. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be creating a Silverlight application that's just going to allow me to search through this list. So I'll go ahead and open Visual Studio 2010, and then open my sample project. Okay, so here's my time entry search solution. You can see here that I have two projects. One is my Silverlight 4 application called Time Entry Search SL, and the other is called Time Entry Search. Time Entry Search will actually deploy the ZAP file that I create in my Silverlight application and then a page to host it. So turning to the Silverlight application, you can see that I have a couple of important references. References to the client object model for Silverlight, so Microsoft.SharePoint.Client.Silverlight and Microsoft.SharePoint.Client.Silverlight.Runtime. And you'll find these in the 14 Hive, just like you would for doing local development against SharePoint 2010. In fact, I'm doing all my development against SharePoint 2010 so I can get the F5 debugging experience. So here is my main page.xaml. You can see that there's not a heck of a lot going on here. So what I'm going to do is I'll just go ahead and get rid of this, and I'll replace it with some XAML that I had created for this demo. So you can see here's my UI. I'm going to provide a text box for users to enter search terms in, a button to click on that'll actually do the search, and then a grid that will produce the results of the search, or display the results of the search. So if I go over here to view code, you can see here that I'm bringing in the Microsoft.SharePoint.client namespace. I have an instance of, or a module level variable called underbar client context of type client context that I'll use for accessing the context that my application's running in, so accessing the SharePoint site. And then you can see here when people click on that time entry search button, I'm going to call get billable time entries. And I'm just going to go ahead and within this code, create an instance of underbar client context, just by call it client context.current. I've got a module level variable, a collection of time entries. Time entry is just a local class that I have I'm using to bind to the grid. I'm going to clear that out. I'm going to say list time entries, client context.web.list, get by title, and then billable times, the name of the list that we're going to be using. I'll create a new camel query. And you can see here that I'm just going to, via the camel query, create a where clause based on begins with the value type of text equal to my search term. And then I'll call time entries.getItems and populate my list with that. And then here you can see I'm calling two methods on the client context. One is load, that I'm going to pass in that underbar time entry list items that specifies the query that I want to make. And the other is client context.execute query async. And I'm going to pass it the delegate of two methods, incidentally methods that I have yet to define, but I'll do so in a second. And what I'm doing here is load will actually package up the action that I want to take, whether it's inserting an item in a list, pulling some items back from a list, checking out a document, whatever it might be that I can access via client object model. Execute query async actually makes the round trip to client.svc and packages up, you know, whatever work that I wanted done as a series of server-side calls in order to execute the particular actions and then return to me whatever results I'm expecting. So execute query async is a great way to get that done so you're not holding up the Silverlight thread and making your UI unresponsive. Of course, we want to do this in a way that will execute asynchronously and then put us back on the UI thread for Silverlight so all of our work in the UI is done in a consistent manner, just a best practice for Silverlight. So what's next? Well, next I need to implement The next thing I need to do is implement onQuery succeeded and onQuery failed. So onQuery succeeded, I'm going to call deployment.current.dispatcher.beginEvoke and pass in a delegate pointer to display entries. OnQuery failed, I'm just going to show a message box via deploy.current.dispatcher.beginInvoke, again, to put it on the Silverlight UI thread, and just show a message box saying the execution failed and showing the inner exception. So within display entries, what do I need to do? Well, I'm just going to bind everything to that grid control. So I'm going to take the time entry list items that's been populated with, you know, whatever list items, manage my query, my camel query. I'm going to create a new list item called time for each of those. And then I'm just going to create a new time entry class, just a class that I've defined. And I'm going to populate it with that data. And then I'll go ahead and set the item source of the grid. And that'll populate the grid with the information that's returned back to me. Okay, so let me go ahead and compile that. Compile succeeded, so now I'm ready to turn over to time entry search, the project that I'll use to actually deploy this. Well, the first thing that I want to do is I've added a module here to deploy the Silverlight Zap file itself. And if you look at the properties, well, let's look at the zap file first. So the first thing that I'm doing is I'm going to take the Silverlight application, the zap that I create, timeentrysearch.zap, and I'm going to deploy it to a library called SLXZap. SLZap. So that's where I'm going to put all the zaps for this particular solution. And I do that just by creating a new element and then in the element properties, clicking on the project output references collection and just marking it as being the project output being time entry SL, the deployment type being a element file, and since I'm deploying it to a custom location, I take the path out of there. Okay. So next, I have a page that I'm actually using, timeentrysearchsl.aspx, to package up that particular zap file in a Silverlight web part, the built-in Silverlight web part, so I can display it on the page. And again, I've got a module here called custom pages and then some custom elements.xaml to deploy that page. You can see here I'm deploying it to site pages and the name of the ASPX file is timeentrysearchsl.aspx. And this will actually package up the Silverlight web part with that zap embedded in it. Okay? So let's go ahead and hit F5. And this will open up an instance of IE and it'll deploy the solution out there. Okay, so it's doing all the packaging, the feature activation. Okay, so if everything worked as expected, under site pages, I should have a page called timeentrysearchsl.aspx. And there you can see the page with my Silverlight application loaded. And I know I had a couple of entries in there for Office 365 work that's being done. And then I click on search and it returns those items to my grid. Okay. So now with that being done, I actually want to package this up and load it into SharePoint Online so I can use the solution in SharePoint Online. Well, how do I do that? Well, I just right click on the web part package, say package. Package succeeded. I'll go over to my site. I'll say site settings, solutions to access the solution gallery, and I will click solutions upload. I'll browse to that file that was created for me, that package file. Bin, debug, there's the WSP I just created. I'll click OK. I'll activate the overall solution. I'll go over to Lab04. Again, there's my billable time list, right? And I'll activate the individual feature in the site. So there's time entry search feature 1, activate. Okay, and then again, within site pages, I should see my site page. There we go. Okay, so let's just search on Azure this time. Okay, and there's an entry for Azure. All right, if we go over and check here, you can see that there's the entry for Azure that we just returned back. So a great example of how to use the client object model with Silverlight. In this case, we just returned items from a list based on a CAML query, but you can do a lot of work with the client object model via Silverlight, .NET, via JavaScript, whether it's working with lists, libraries, documents and libraries, and so on. But what I did here is I just created a quick, simple Silverlight application, reference the client object model so I could access Silverlight information from that particular solution. I packaged it up in a Silverlight web part hosted in a custom page and then created a solution to distribute the zap file and that custom page. So that's Silverlight and the client object model in a quick and easy demo.